I'm Lorcan Malone, Chief Executive of the Analytics Institute of Ireland, and you're very welcome to our podcast series, Data Leaders. In these podcasts, I chat with some of the most important and influential people in the data analytics area in Ireland, and I try to find out a little bit about the people and personalities behind the careers. I also want to explore their philosophy in relation to data and analytics in general, and also find out a little bit about where they think the industry is going in the future. I hope you enjoy this series of interviews, and if you do, please subscribe below. Thank you. So, good morning, everybody, and you're very welcome to our podcast, the first for quite some time, Data Leaders in Conversation. Delighted to be back in action again following COVID, and I'm with this morning somebody who I find extremely interesting talking to about data. It's Joanne Seary, and Joanne is the leader of the Irish Innovation Centre of an organisation called Marsh McLennan, a huge organisation. So I'm looking forward to learning more, Joanne, about you and your organisation and how data plays a role in what you do. So can we start maybe, In preparation for the podcast, I had a look at your website and I thought, great, now I'll be an expert, but I'm almost none the wiser. It's a huge organization and it's very diverse. So can you maybe tell us a little bit about the organization and the sectors and technologies that you work in?
Of course, and good morning, Lorcan, and thanks very much for this opportunity. So delighted to be here on this podcast, and hope that I can enlighten a bit about Marsh McLennan and the work we do around data. So how I like to explain Marsh McLennan, it's a global professional services firm headquartered out of New York. And it's really around the client. So ultimately, it's about helping our clients. Right. And we do that in different ways through four core businesses. So there's Marsh, Mercer, Guy Carpenter, and Oliver Wyman. So if you think of Marsh is a giant, think of it like a giant insurance broker. You know, if you're a big manufacturer, you're not going to go to the high street to get your insurance program placed. You know, you need specialist advisors. Mercer would look at, for example, pensions and investments of our clients. Guy Carpenter, they are focused on reinsurance. So insurance companies also need insurance. So that's what Guy Carpenter are primarily focused on. And Oliver Wyman, our strategic management consulting company. And combining the four companies, there's really a breadth of services on offer to our clients.
Huge, absolutely massive. Yeah. Any idea in number of employees?
There's approximately 83,000 employees. Wow. Okay. We operate in 130 countries. Wow. And yeah, like last year, 20 billion in revenue.
Right, yeah. Some of these companies are the size of small countries, aren't they?
Exactly.
I remember years ago working in Ericsson, and it took about a year to get working there to get a kind of a full understanding, mm-hmm. just the size and scope of the organization.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. And I assume, therefore, as you say, global teams, very diversified in terms of your work. But I imagine data plays a huge role if you're talking about insurance and reinsurance and pension investments. Must be massive amounts of data there.
Absolutely. Data is it touches every part of the business, really. You know, for example, you can have, you know, companies wanting to understand the trends in the insurance market and the trends in pricing and, you know, how their program, you know, is in line with the market. So that would be one example. Obviously, you know, we build applications and we would be looking at the behavior of our users and how they're interacting with our applications. There's, you know, data can be used to understand the purchasing behavior of our clients. So it really touches everything.
Right. And how do you then decide, say, within the Innovation Center? You might tell me a little bit of what the
Sure.
center does, but and then maybe tell me, you know, how do you prioritize what you need to do for the business then? I mean, obviously you must have requests coming from everywhere. So how do you manage that, and how do you make sure that that's kind of, it's impactful?
Absolutely. So the primary goal is to focus on business impact, business value. With the best will in the world, there's no way we can handle all of the requests that we receive. Yeah. It's really important to have a business contact, because otherwise you could be producing something that you think someone wants, but if you don't have a business contact to help validate that and to be able to show you how it's going to be used and what business outcomes you're trying to affect, it's very, very difficult.
Can I just ask you that before we go any further? Just that seems to be a pivotal point that comes up with many organizations, where the data work or the analytics work almost sits outside the organization rather than being at the heart, so that it's almost separated slightly from the business. So when you say a business contact, do you mean that you're actually dealing with somebody in the business that's making sure that the work is contextualized for the business?
Yeah, exactly that. So for example, the one I'm very familiar with is analytics for insurance companies. Yeah. And there's a whole business within Marsh that deals with insurance companies on a day-to-day basis and provides consulting services to those insurance companies. And the team in Dublin is in charge of the analytical part of that consulting offering. So
is anything that as a service then? Is it?
Exactly that, yes. So carrier analytics. And for example, insurance companies, they can see what their share of Marsh's book of business is. And that, you know, because Marsh is going to be a large trading partner of the insurance company, and they want to know how they can develop within Marsh. But also it helps them understand how they're benchmarked against their competitors, for example. But anything that is developed or shared would be based on business requirements, you know, coming from the business sponsor. It wouldn't be something that we think, you know, might look good.
Yeah, okay. So they're driving the agenda.
Yeah. Well, that
probably makes a lot of sense, because you would need a lot of domain expertise, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Look at something like actuarial.
Yeah.
Graphs. Yeah. Or whatever they use it. Just actually, which reminds me, it's a point that you and I have spoken about briefly before this podcast, but the insurance industry feels like it's a bit of a laggard in terms of analytics. In that I'm always somewhat surprised that insurance isn't really at the leading edge, given how much data is involved in insurance and decisions have to be made with a mathematical and analytical bent. So it's interesting to me that why insurance isn't more, right up there. Mm. Why do you think that is, Joanne?
Yeah, I feel it's changing, but certainly my perception or my experience is that in insurance, it's very much a relationship business, and it's built on trust that's been developed over many years. And you also have a lot of insurance companies have grown through acquisition and having legacy systems or different systems. So there's an enormous amount of work to integrate all of those. But I do see it changing, particularly in the consumer and the commercial space, because we all have apps on our phones for various things, and people expect the same, you know, for insurance. And also with new ways of being able to produce and capture data, there's a lot more capabilities. So for instance, you know, sensors and IoT can help with preventing an event from happening, as opposed, you know, so really risk prevention as opposed to risk transfer. So I think that there's going to be, you know, a lot of digital transformation in the insurance industry. But I would say, you know, traditionally, it's because it's been there've been these deep relationships, and also you do have some insurance placements are very, very complex. And so it's not as if, you know, there's just a simple template.
No, it does strike me, you know, even when you get your insurance or whatever, you get these documents that have 75 clauses and sub-clauses and so within that. And also, maybe there's a kind of a legacy culture there that people still like the sense of the document in insurance a little bit more than in other industries who have let that go. So I kind of get that. So can you tell us a little bit, Joanne, just about you're heading up the Innovation Centre there in Dublin. Can you tell us a little bit about what that does and how it's made up, what your team's like, and what you're doing there?
Sure. So the Innovation Centre, it's very reflective of Marsh McLennan itself. So we have teams from Marsh, we have teams from Mercer, teams from Oliver Wyman, and also we have some technology teams that really span across the various businesses.
And how big is it, Joanne? How many people are in?
Yeah, there's approximately 75 of us, and we're growing at the moment. And our skill set is very much in data, digital software engineering, etc., with strong domain knowledge. Right. And yeah, so we're very much focused on delivering solutions for our business partners.
Yeah, okay. And what are your typical team members like? Is this a highly technical, are you guys really deep technical data scientists, or is it analytics, or is it a mixture of all of it?
It's everything. So what I've said is that we've skills across the technology spectrum. So you have data scientists, you have software engineers, you have data engineers, you name it. The skill set is in the Innovation Centre, and it's very diverse from the point of view of we've got something like 20 different nationalities represented at the Innovation Centre. Speak 30 languages as well, so very, very global in nature.
Okay, which is interesting. Do you find, I know many of the organizations that we talk to at the moment, their biggest issue is talent, is trying to recruit talent because they're growing, or trying to retain talent because the market is such high demand now. We are beginning to hear noises about recession potentially in the tech sector in the States, but hasn't really come over here yet. How about you guys? Are you finding it difficult to find talent here in Dublin?
I would say that you know there's plenty of talent, and it's definitely not hard to find talent at all. Okay. But it's always I suppose the kind of it's a blessing and a curse. We've got this fabulous technology ecosystem in Dublin, so I guess the point is that a lot of companies are recruiting at the moment, so we're all competing against each other for the best talent.
Yeah, I think that's the point. Rather than saying, you know, there is good talent out there, but it's just that it's quite a salaries market at the moment for salaries have gone crazy. Some of the salary levels I've seen anyway, and then maybe they have to be at that high given the accommodation rates here in Dublin.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very interesting, isn't it? Fantastic to see. Yeah. It's just, it is just amazing. In terms of retention then, Joanne, I know you're quite committed to making sure that your people are engaged both with the industries through the Analytics Institute, but also I assume that you invest in people in terms of their skill sets and their careers.
Yeah, absolutely. So Marsh McLennan, it's very much a learning organization, and there's a huge emphasis on learning and development. There's a great array of courses that people can avail of, and we also have a lot of you know, internal learning transformation teams that anyone in the organization can avail of. And then obviously if somebody has a specific need that can't be catered for internally, that's something we'd always look at. What's also really important is to have interesting projects and interesting problems to solve coming through, because it's nothing like learning on the job.
I think that's a brilliant point. I do think organizations sometimes miss that, in that I think analytics people and people in this sector in general are very bright, intelligent people. They have to be in order to do the job. And as a result, are very curious as well, but can be restless.
Yeah.
The organizations, I think, make the mistake sometimes of giving these people extremely boring jobs with no challenges and expecting them to thrive. And I don't think that works. I think you have to constantly challenge people and
absolutely
reach their full potential in this sector. So it's interesting to see that your organization is investing in that. I think that's very wise. It's nice to see another woman leader as well. And it's fantastic for us, because when I set up the organization about 7 years ago now, women were very much in the, you know, in the minority, and you would have the blokes sitting around and the guys sitting around, and maybe the token woman in the room. But it certainly has changed fantastically, and particularly in the last couple of years. I think our last survey said, you know, our women leaders are around 38% of the of the population, which is fantastic, and we're getting closer, I think, all the time to 50%. Did you find it challenging coming up, Joanne, as a woman in a primarily male dominated sector at the time, as you were progressing through your career?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I guess just a bit about how I got into data and data analytics. So I've always been involved in data in some way or another throughout my working time. But around the time of the financial crash, I was working as a market risk analyst in a bank. And what I really noticed was how important the data that we produce, you know, that how important it was for decision making. And also, it was really the first time ever that the penny dropped with me, that what I was working on was very reflective of real world events and what was happening outside. And it also really hit home that by understanding the data, it can help you actually better understand what's taking place more generally. Then around 2009, I made the pivot to the insurance industry, and, you know, really worked in I suppose what was, you know, a burgeoning industry at that time, the whole data and analytics piece. And I didn't really think about it too much, about being kind of a female in a male dominated industry. It was more around, you know, focusing on the task at hand. But definitely as you move on, you become more and more aware of the fact that it definitely more males in the industry, and certainly, you know, more males in senior management. But I guess you just have to be very clear on, you know, what your goals are and how to articulate your vision, and not really be focused on you know, whether you're male or female, but focus on the work itself. But it's also been helpful to have mentors at different times as well.
Yeah, I think it's really important. Good to hear. I think you're right about that. It's not only technical skills, is it? It is those skills that are maybe sometimes overlooked, but things like assertiveness and communication skills and listening skills and empathy, and, you know, they're very valuable as well, I think, as you get...
Absolutely.
I think some organizations might make the mistake of only focusing on the technology, which is why the Institute, we've invested heavily in our in our training, where we have a balance of nearly 50% soft skills as well as skills, because we believe that, you know, you do have to be very rounded, not only understand the technology, but understand the business in order to create value.
Absolutely. And to be able to influence and to try to really get inside your stakeholders' shoes and understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. Joanne, that's fantastic. Just one last question for you before we wrap up. It's how do you see things moving forward now? You see the kind of the introduction of AI and newer technologies, robotics, process automation. Is that beginning to come into your remit yet? And how do you see the industry evolving over the next, say, 3 or 5 years?
Yeah, for sure. So it's certainly an area that's becoming increasingly important for what we do, and definitely it will form a big part of where we want to go with the Innovation Centre. I feel with just taking an insurance as an example, I see it becoming increasingly important. And even things like we talk about self-drive cars, at some point, they will be here. And if you think about how that changes insurance, so rather than purchasing an annual policy, but how about you're paying for your insurance for the time that the car is on the road, that the risk is higher at that time rather than when the car is stationary or when it's in your garage. So I would see insurance becoming a lot more targeted and a lot more, specific to certain situations as opposed to just being, something very, very standard. And
Much more real time as well. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Brilliant. Joanne, it was a real pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I wish you every success with your career moving forward. And we're looking forward to continuing to work with your organization in the Institute, your feminist inclusion into our community, and look forward to working with you over the next few years.
Yeah, thank you very much, Lorcan, and thanks for the opportunity. Great to chat to you today. And yes, looking forward to partnering with the Analytics Institute.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to hear more from other data leaders, please subscribe below.